This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Welcome to Hard Drive DL, the Hard Drive Radio podcast. My name is Paulie Walnuts. Delighted that you've decided to join us today for this awesome episode. We've got Lou Brutus sitting down with Five Finger Death Punch. Yes. And those guys have a pretty awesome relationship for a good long time. I know Lou has mentioned it many times on his show, and if you've ever met him in person, he's always wearing his five-finger death punch ring that he's very, very proud of. And if you haven't heard the story, next time you see him, ask him about it. He'll tell it to you. Without further delay, here's Lou Brutus, five-finger death punch.
I know I've said this before, but there are certain people I always enjoy speaking to, and one of them is Zoltan Bathory from Five Finger Death Punch. It's very nice to see you again, as always.
How you doing, Brute?
I don't know where to begin. Let's start with new music, because you have a tune called Trouble on the Way, and I'd like to know about new record, new album, where it was done, and whatever you're free to share at this point.
So we have a record on deck. You know, we had a little bit of a tussle, a little bit of a wrestling match with our record label, but it seems like it's straightening out now. And the first song gonna drop is Trouble. That's like a cool little rocker. It's an up tempo, mid tempo sort of. You know, like it's a good death punch song. So that's next.
Every band has trials and tribulations. I mean, you just mentioned something there. Is that what this song is about or inspired by, or is it just in general in life?
Well, you know, it's of course, Ivan is the hand grenade without the pin. So he wrote the lyrics, obviously, and I think it's about himself, that he is trouble. He's treating that, you know. It's good to see him, you know, getting sober, getting straight, and so I guess this song now is in a Nights of Past tense song. I used to be trouble. We should add this to the title. Used to be trouble.
And where was everything done, and when was it written, and kind of walk me through the how, where's, and why's of recording the new music.
So we went to the studio somewhere in the summer, this year. Last year, I don't even know what year is it. 2017. Wow,
you know,
it's like, you know, life just comes at you. Like I have no idea. So we went to the studio last summer and started to record the songs. Trouble was one of them, and I think we have about 18 songs, 19 songs on deck. And right now we are, you know, we will figure out if a greatest hits comes first or the record comes first. So one of those two, but you know, we have a lot of songs, and there are a couple of massive ones that I'm really proud of that I know that they will touch a lot of people. We recorded it with Kevin Churko. You know, Kevin is sort of a band member at this point. So, and as usual, you know, all hands on deck. So it's a good solid death punch record. Probably some of the best songs. And that's the idea, you know. You're always trying to get better songwriter. You want to write better songs, and you know, it's a skill. Songwriting is not just playing guitar, playing your instruments. That's a mechanical skill, but writing a song is a different skill. And you know, you're always trying to advance. And I think we achieved that. There are some songs that for me they're brilliant. You know, obviously, the people will judge it for themselves. But you know, but I think we expanded our, you know, or abilities a little bit again.
Zoltan, are you far enough along in the process that you're starting to think about packaging and artwork and logos and that sort of thing? Because I know, A, you love to do that. B, you do a great job at it, and it's always interesting to see.
Yes. In fact, it's funny that you asked, because I was just doing the singles album cover right now. So the first single, Trouble, that's going to come out. I just did literally. I was sending it to the guys, what you guys think, today.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
Here's something for the graphics people. Are you doing all this from scratch? Are you flying in different artwork from different places? Like, how do you create this? And where do you find the fonts, the lettering for everything? Like, how do you bring something like that together?
Well, everything is you know, sort of custom made. So obviously fonts, you can use any kind of fonts, but you know, most of our graphics are custom made. It's rare that I use clip art. You know, it's all custom made. If I need something that is easier to grab from somewhere and it's, you know, freely available, like obviously there are clip art libraries, more like background elements, so I don't have to, you know, waste my time to create something that, you know, is just a background element. Then I would use clip art, but it's unlikely. It's almost everything is always custom made. Of course, the fonts are regular fonts, you know, that I use. And sometimes the logos, you know, it's fonts that I would use and modify. So, you know, I take it in Illustrator and I break it apart and I make our own fonts a lot of times.
You know, for anybody, and we'll talk about bands here, of course, but for anybody who is out there trying to create something in the arts, when you're coming up with graphics like this that you're trying to do for whatever reason, a band or anything, are there any basic tips that you can give to anybody who's young out there, who's just starting to dabble in this stuff, but thinks that they want to give it a go, or they're trying to create things for their own band? What sort of tips would you give for people who are trying to create their own stuff?
Well, you have to, you know, you really have to be honest with yourself. Meaning, are you good enough to create the art, or is it better if you grab some of your friends who are better at it? You know, I think it's important that, you know, your artwork, your band's logos and everything that is, you know, connected with your band has a, you know, have a style. You know, they should, like, look at Iron Maiden, you know, all their covers are connecting to each other. You know, it's like this, it's a brand almost, you know. So they don't really use anything that's too far away from the original artwork. So you kind of want to create that, you know. Same thing with Megadeth, you know. A lot of these bands understand this, that the look and feel is also a brand. And you know, it's cool if you want to create your own artwork, but you have to be honest with yourself. Is it good enough? Because you don't want to, you know, it's also representing your band. So you may be a great band, great music, and you have a crappy artwork, that's actually going to hurt it, because it feels kind of amateurish. So if you're great at it, or, you know, or you believe that you're great at it, then do it.
You mentioned Iron Maiden. What are some other maybe examples you think of bands, other groups, who have done a great job of complementing their music with other graphics and other fields and tying it all together? Maybe the best recent one is the Hardwired album from Metallica. Between the album, the video, the stuff on stage, there was a great, again, continuity to everything. Give me some other examples of things that maybe inspired you and gave you some ideas to do something different, but you use that as the germ of the idea.
Okay, well, since you mentioned Metallica, let's start there. You know, I was a big fan of Posshead, who was a graphic designer, and you could see a lot of his artwork on a skateboard company, an old skateboard company called Zorlock.
A lot of posters too.
Yeah, and so he did beside Metallica merch, he did Prong, and he did a lot of different, you know, a lot of different bands, and you can definitely recognize his style. I was a huge fan of his work. As for artists, let's say somebody who was in a band, I would have to say Voivod. You know, they did their own artwork, and it was something definitely special. It was so different, you know. And I was a big Voivod fan, and believe it or not, I picked up the first Voivod record because of the cover. You know, I really liked the cover, and then it was, you know, War and Pain, and then they had the next album was Roar, and then Killing Technology, and then they kept, you know, continued the, again, same style. So if you look at the artwork, it was connecting, and Away was doing the artwork. So it's a band member, so it's, when it's a band member, you don't have to have somebody translate through your graphic designer what you're trying to say. So I think it's always great if you have an artist in a band, and they would be the band that I would say, like, okay, it's special, it's different, and it's a continuation of their original artwork. They kept that image all the way through their career.
Tell me about Vetpaw, because the older I get, the more I like animals as opposed to people. And you're doing some great work for some of the most wonderful creatures on earth. So give me the background on this group and tell me how you got involved and what you've been doing of late, because it's really, really was rather special.
So as you know, I've been working with organizations that are taking care of veterans. So that's been going on for a decade now that, you know, I'm involved with basically a lot of organizations that are helping veterans to deal with PTSD or, you know, reintegrate them into civilian life. There are a couple of companies that I'm on the board, a couple of companies I'm a founding member of, and there are companies that, you know, these nonprofits that I'm just helping whatever way I can. The band being involved and raising money for this organization. So it's an ongoing thing. And I was in Africa, in Tanzania, when the first time I heard about VETPA, as I was roaming around literally in a Serengeti with some local rangers, they were telling me about these guys that they were here and they were training the rangers, American veterans. So when I came back from Tanzania, I actually found them, I reached out and we started to talk and it became a relationship, you know. And then the next time I went to Africa with them, right now they're in South Africa. So to me, it's like two different causes that I care about, you know, wildlife and conservation and veterans. So these are veterans who, you know, when these vets are coming back from conflicts, right, they are highly skilled operators, and most of these guys in VETPA are Green Berets and, you know, Marine Special Operations. These are guys with serious skills. And it's almost like doesn't matter what they're going to do in civilian lives, their civilian lives, it's something that they're always going to be underutilized. Their skills not going to be used, you know? And so that's one of the problem with, you know, a lot of these guys, that they feel bored, they feel that they're not needed, and they're more than capable. In fact, they are capable of things and trained in things that, you know, that are very special and none of us would know how to even begin, right? And that's, I believe at least, that that's part of PTSD, when these guys feeling that they're not needed. Yesterday, you know, your battle buddy's life depended on you, your unit's life depended on you, a mission depended on you, and today you're I don't know, a security guard in a club or something. That's just so not, you know, it's just underutilizing really, yeah, your skills. And then here's this organization where, you know, it's in the backwoods of Africa, and so these are veterans who's now having a job, and having a job where they can actually use their skills, where actually all those things that they know and all the things that they can do are all utilized. And so they're saving African wildlife. That's what VETPA stands for. So VETPA stands for Veterans Empowered to Protect African Wildlife. And basically what they do, they train the rangers. You know, the poaching is a very serious problem. You know, you need guys who are not afraid of firefights, but also control. So this is not, you know, this is the idea that these guys go out and kill poachers is completely crazy. That's not what they do, you know. First and foremost, you know, if there's a situation, and there are situations that are very, very dangerous, the poacher is obviously armed, and, you know, and they're usually crime syndicates. These are not just some guys. They usually work for some crime syndicate. And so they're armed, and they're capable of doing, you know, crazy things. And so when you throw combat vets in those situations, they're not scared. They're not running away. They're not, you know, they know these situations. They've been in these situations. So they know how to handle it and how to, you know, neutralize it. And in Tanzania, they apprehended a lot of these poachers and trained a lot of rangers. And they're doing the same thing now in South Africa. That, I mean, it's incredible that it's so bad that the poachers would, you know, a full-grown rhino horn, like a big one, is almost $500,000. So you can see why, you know, why they do it. And it got so bad that they would break into orphanages. When you have these tiny baby rhinos, they have a little knob, like a 2-4 inch little knob, they didn't, you know, as a horn, and they even kill those because that little knob worth so much money, especially when you're talking about poor countries. It's a very, very complex problem, you know. So you really need people who understand, and And, you know, they also say that, hey, we're not coming here as the, you know, the American soldiers and we solve the situation. We come here to integrate into what the local rangers are doing, you know, understand their problems and then solve it and train them and you know, and give them logistical support. And they're on the grounds there and saving wildlife. And when you out there with them, it's pretty amazing. I also like that they go to the local villages, you know, and these guys are fixing the wells. I've been out with them, like there was this little village that they didn't have water. They didn't have water for a week, you know, and then these guys would fix the well, get the parts for them, and, you know. And so the local villages start to understand, like, okay, so these are the good guys. So when the poachers are moving in, then they will, you know, somebody will notify somebody, like, hey, we got a problem. And then because the villagers understand, like, okay, these guys are here to protect the wildlife, protect the land, and helping us. So they also have this outreach working with the locals. It's amazing. It's amazing work.
Back to music really quick. And the stuff that's been recorded of late, have there been any cover songs done? Any?
There are some cover songs. I don't think I can give it away yet. but we managed to, you know, cover songs are difficult because see the cover song has to be something that lyrically Ivan have to associate because he will never sing something that he doesn't feel, right? He's a very you know, he sings everything he does, it comes from feelings, you know. So he has to feel the lyrics has to speak to him. So when we're talking about cover songs so many times, like, oh, that's a great idea, but the lyrics doesn't work for him because he can't put himself in those shoes, so then he's not gonna sing it because he feels that it's insincere. So when we're talking about cover song, it's very difficult because you have to find a cover song that is a little bit off the genre. You don't want to, we can't remake a Pantera song or a Metallica song. I mean, you're never going to make those songs better in any shape and way. And we are a similar,
or different,
we are a similar sounding band. So we have to kind of pick something that's a little bit outside of the, you know, of hard rock, heavy metal. And then lyrically it has to work. And then you remake it, you really have to make it your own. Because it happened before. We were like, oh, this is a great idea, and we were working on some cover song, and we were like, you know what? This is not coming together. It just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't give me a feeling that I'm looking for. And then Bad Company obviously came together in a way that I'm like, wow, okay, this is something special. And we have two, actually, in the batch of 18, 19 songs that are both I'm really proud of, and I think they're going to be just as serious contenders than Bad Company was.
Zoltan, it's always great to see you. God bless you, and safe travels wherever you go, because you go everywhere.
Thank you.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.
Hey, it's Lou Brutus, Aaron, and Valentino from Of Mice and Men. Join me now. Good to see you, Aaron.
Hey, good to see you, too. Always a pleasure.
Valentino, you look well.
Hey, I am well. Happy to be here, man.
Excellent. Tell me about playing with Of Mice and Men and Avatar. I thought it was a very good triple pairing of folks.
Yeah, I mean, so far the tour has been great. I think every band kind of delivers something different, and the fans can get kind of a more dynamic show than if everything's kind of the same. So it's been awesome so far.
Valentino, it's my understanding that you guys were doing some hanging with Avatar. They have new music they've been working on. You have new music you've been working on, and you were trading off on things. Tell me about their new music, and then we'll talk about your new music.
Their stuff is awesome, man. We're new fans of them. We just found out about them on this tour, and they bring such an awesome sound. It's very classic with a lot of modern twists and some awesome theatrics. And so, for us getting to hear their new material on top of what we've been hearing every night is. It's massive. It's really cool. And for us as musicians, you know, we really utilize this community because we're all musicians. And it's so cool to be able to have peers out here that are literally doing the exact same thing as us, which is making music and going on tour and, you know, trying to change our lives, basically, you know, and be, I guess, iconic in any way that we can. And I feel like hearing their new music and getting to share our new music with them and seeing their excitement when they hear our stuff. And like, it's a cool feeling, you know, and it's like sharing, I guess, with like your musician buddies, you know, it's like, check out my band, you know, and it just, it's so, that's what this is all about, you know? Like, it doesn't matter how big your band is or whatever. Like, that kind of stuff is still so exciting to all of us.
Aaron, you guys are working with Howard Benson in California. Tell me about the studio you're in. Tell me about everything about the new music.
Man, it's been awesome. I mean, working with somebody like Howard Benson, who's produced, I think, some of our favorite rock records of, you know, from the 2000s even to now. Working with his crew, with like Mike Plotnikoff, with Hatch, with everybody, it's seriously been amazing. And it's been one of those experiences where we got to really work on our ideas instead of trying to have somebody, you know, just push us in any sort of direction. Howard is very much about taking our ideas and figuring out how to maximize those rather than trying to inject ideas. So it's been great. I mean, we finished up there a few weeks ago, so now we're just doing mixes. We're mixing the record with Chris Lord-Alge, which the Chris Lord-Alge Howard Benson combo is yeah, their reputation precedes them, and for good reason. And so right now we're just doing mixes back and forth. So every day, usually after we're done playing, we have a couple mixes in our inbox and we send some notes back and forth. And so the record's coming along.
Valentino, tell me about getting mixes back from Chris Lord-Alge. The list of things he has mixed is long and very impressive. And they include Green Day's American Idiot, which in my personal book is the third greatest album of all time and probably the best mixed out of the top three albums ever made. He's won everything. Yeah. So tell me about, how do you engage this guy? How do you go back and forth with him? Do you correct him if there's something that you don't like? Or do you just go, thanks, Chris? Tell me everything about getting involved with him, working with him, and how it's going.
So it's kind of funny because with somebody with such a huge reputation, you know, we were trying to think like, man, that guy must be probably the most successful person we've ever met. You know what I mean? If you think about it, like of all the things that he's done, the accomplishments, you know, like, and to be able to work with somebody like that, it's very, very, it can be daunting at first. And Chris kind of opened himself up as a friend to us in a lot of ways. And he's a jokester himself too. So it's kind of funny, like, getting to work with him, and he's got his quick quips and stuff like that. And he's a great guy to work with though, man. And he could easily be like a total dick, but he's actually really awesome and really accepting of all of our notes. You know, like sometimes I even feel bad that I got to send notes, you know, I'm like, damn, this sounds so good. But that one little thing, like the minute details of recording that nobody really hears, but is important to us as musicians, he's super open to correcting that and making sure that our vision comes out in the songs too, while him, like Aaron said, maximizing the potential of what our sound is. And every time we get the mix back, you know, we get like two, it starts with one and then we send some notes and then we get the second one and then like probably like a couple little notes after that. And then we're usually done after that, which is nice because it's not too long and drawn out of a process. It's pretty smooth and it's cool. And it's kind of like it's the future now, you know, like, so we're on tour crushing festivals and still getting mixes. And, you know, like the workday kind of goes on like that. So it's pretty cool.
In the words of my friend Mojo Nixon, it's a glorious time on the planet Earth.
Yep.
When do we get to hear this stuff?
We just shot a music video for Warzone. It's probably the heaviest song on the record. The song is about a panic attack that I had in the middle of the night shortly after getting news of Chester's passing, because we were friends. And I just remember waking up, and we'd had the instrumental for that song for a while. Tino actually wrote the instrumental for it. And so we'd been sitting on it, and I'd been sitting on it trying to figure out what to write about in that song, because the song was so heavy and it was so manic in ways, and it was just so sporadic in places. And so, you know, the whole idea of your head being a war zone when you're having a panic attack and just feeling like there is a literal war zone in your head. And I think it literally, when I started putting pen to paper, listening to that immediately after having the panic attack at 3 a.m, like a couple days after, it just kind of came out and it just felt so right. And I remember I showed Tino, and Tino was like, yeah, that's it. Like that's some, you know, 'cause sometimes it's hard to get that perfect pairing of lyric, message, and music, but when it comes together and it just, yeah.
It was exactly just that feeling of that's exactly what this song sounds like, and that's exactly what the music kind of like. You get that feeling, you know. And for us, inspiration and music can come from anything, you know. And when it kind of comes together and we all work on it together, it really, really begins to blossom and make it something like really cool. And I remember when he showed me and he sang me the lyrics, and I was like, damn, yeah, that's sick. And it's cool when the songs kind of come together. And that's kind of a lot how this album has been coming together too, is very kind of like we get that inspiration, and then it somehow just materialized itself somehow, you know.
And it comes from anywhere. I think one of the greatest therapeutic aspects of rock music for me and for all of us, and especially in metal, is just being able to repurpose such hardships and such sometimes negative events and sometimes just negative feelings, but you get to kind of repurpose that. And almost in a way, you know, for me, like, I've suffered from anxiety for a long time, and for me to kind of write about that, and I remember when I'd finished recording it, it was just this catharsis, just this emotion, just all of it was like, okay, I got that out, finally, like, and, you know, I think that's one of the greatest things we can do, because I think anybody who's here at this festival, you know, they come here because the music makes them feel, and they come to certain songs and certain bands when they need to feel something different than the way they're feeling, and so for us to be able to kind of repurpose something like an anxiety attack into something that can, you know, rile people up, and also, you know, for somebody out here to know that if that happens to them at 3 a.m, that it happens to me at 3 a.m, and it happens to a lot of musicians, and it happens to a lot of people in general. So I think being able to kind of repurpose tragedy in a way to bring hope to people is one of the greatest gifts of rock music, like, ever.
Tell me about the video.
So the music video was really cool. It kind of came together with the video director, Michael Colasardo. It's basically trying to personify and visualize what a panic attack can feel like. And there's some really, really cool imagery with some dark bathwater, and Aaron does a freaking amazing performance. It gives me chills when I watch it, and it's another face of the art that we create, and it really, really came out cool. We were able to, we did an open casting call to try and involve some fans. And they kind of like represent, they're like some dark, ominous figures that are kind of like, making our heads spin, basically. And it was really cool. You know, we love involving our fans too, and they all worked really hard the whole day. And we just thought it was so cool that, to make something for, you know, our new album, getting to involve our fans. You know, we had hundreds of submissions, and it was such a cool thing to like get to involve, you know, a certain fan. And of course, we send it out to our fan club as well, called the Ampersand, through our official website. And those guys, they always get, you know, first draft pick, you know, like they're our closest fans. They're the ones that really, really support us. They've been to shows for years, and, you know, it's just really cool when we get to involve everybody in it, and everyone feels like, wow. And they were all just so pumped on the song. It was a great feeling. And it was really, they were the first people to get to hear the music. You know, some of our biggest fans got to experience that moment with us, just hearing it over the loudspeaker, and then getting to watch, you know, one of their favorite bands play the music. Like, that's a dream. Like, I was stoked for them, because I was like, damn, I wish I could have done something like this when I was, you know, growing up and getting to be in, you know, music and stuff, because there was a lot of musicians there too, and guys with bands of their own too, so it was cool.
Thank you so much to Of Mice and Men, and of course Lou Brutus, for that awesome interview. Always great to hear from those guys and see what they're up to. Things are changing rapidly for that band, and they're pushing through and achieving greatness. So we appreciate having them on the show, and we appreciate having you listen. If you like what you hear, make sure to give us a thumbs up, maybe send some stars our way. Let us know what you think of the show. We always want to hear from you, and any feedback is always loved and welcomed. If you need more Hard Drive Radio, you can always check us out on the internet, harddriveradio.com. Also on the socials, at Hard Drive Radio, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, I'm Paulie Walnuts. Thanks for listening to Hard Drive DL.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.